Translation. During the Chakshusha Manvantara, there was a great king named Satyavrata, who was a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Satyavrata performed austerities by subsisting only on water. The Lord assumed one fish incarnation to save the Vedas at the beginning of the Swayambhuva Manvantara. And at the end of the Chakshush Manvantara, the Lord again assumed the form of a fish just to favor the great king named Satyavrata. As there were two incarnations of Varaha, there were also two incarnations of fish. The Lord appears as one fish incarnation to save the Vedas by killing Hayagriva, and he assumed the other fish incarnation to show favor to King Satyavrata. End of Prabhupada. Omagyanam, Dhirvandasyakyan Ansaratayah, Chakshuramitam, Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Namo Vishnu Buddhaya Krishna Parishthaya Bhutadei Zimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nevishesha Shandavari Pascha Chattisatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shivasari Gaur Bhakti Vindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation again, during the Chakshusha Manvantara, there was a great king named Satyavrata, who was a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Satyavrata performed austerities by subsisting only on water. Hare Krishna. I think we're in the Satyayuga now. I mean, in this section. The first incarnation. So performing austerities was part of the dharma. You could sit and meditate on the Lord quite easily. So to sit for a long time is an austerity. Very good. And even for half an hour, right? Class. Stretch. So then you need to perform some austerities like Ashtanga Yoga or Hatha Yoga so that you can twist your body in ways in excess to what it normally goes, so that then you feel quite comfortable moving your body in. So then you can sit down peacefully. That is the second stage of the Ashtanga Yoga. Yama, Nama, Yama, Niyama, Asana. That one. Then when your body is peaceful, relaxed, then you can do pranayama, and then it goes on from then. After pranayama, then one becomes starts to become advanced in the yoga process. So here we're talking about the different incarnations of the Lord, and here the fish incarnation, matsya. He said there was two incarnations of the fish. So the first one, the demon called Hayagriva, stole the Vedas from Lord Brahma during the flood. And the Lord rescued them. There's not much history in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then in the second time he came was to show mercy to King Satyavrata, which is this story, narration. That's a very interesting narration. And we see that why the Lord appears. They say that nobody knows when, where, why, and how the Lord will appear. It's called www.h. When, where, why, and how. Nobody knows when he will appear, why he appears, and for what purpose he appears, and how he appears. Nobody knows. He just appears, right? So here he appeared as a little fish, tiddler, in this king's state, offering oblations, gets some water as a fish there. He puts it back, gets more water again, the fish is there. Then the fish starts to talk to him. Very dangerous here. A little fish, very dangerous in this pond. Can you keep me somewhere safe? You see, because God has a very good sense of humor. When he wants to do something, he's about to. You know, there's a huge partial annihilation coming up. So how would you handle it if you were God? It would be really serious business, right? You call all the management and decide a program, and right? We get Shruti Dharma and the team and sit down in the office and bang it out for them. No, yes. No problem for the Lord, because everything is going by his desire. And then it's a very humorous story. I won't go tell everything, because that's the rest of the slokas, other people to speak about. But eventually he gets too big for anything. How big was he? Anyone know how big he grew? Huh? 100 million miles, something like that. That's pretty big. Where are you going to put some? Where are you going to put a fish? 100 million miles. So you have to appreciate Krishna's sense of humor. The whole material world is created by him, and it's created as dukkhalaya. It's temporary, full of misery. Then we're placed into it, and now remembrance of who we are is taken away. So we're trying to sort the whole situation out. It's a miserable place, temporary place full of miseries, and then in that we put in that, and Krishna bewilders us. Because we desire to act separately from the law, we have a different idea than what was already going on. So this is how he did it, and then he had some, and we're all running around, all the living entities trying to get it together, trying to get this world together and get peace and happiness and resolve all the problems. And so Krishna must be smiling at this, because it's a place of misery, but we're not going to have it. We're not going to accept this a place of misery. And even if there are, we're going to overcome them. Right? This is our policy, this is what drives us on, how to overcome the problems. So the joke's on us, because actually we're nothing to do with the material world, and we can't manipulate the material energy either. And we can't do anything in the jivatma. He can't do anything. He can't move. He can't push one atom. that's moved by somebody else. But because we illusion to think we are the doers, the movers and the doers, and we make all these programs. And everyone's in anxiety at every moment. The living entity, afraid of his supposed enemy. You're fearful of the future. We're in anxiety about the future, isn't it? Everyone's in anxiety about the future. When will I eat? When will I sleep? And then you have to make all arrangements for that, and that means working all day to keep them at bay, to keep the problems at bay. You have to work all day, isn't it? But it's, the whole material life in the material world is completely unnecessary. It's like a superimposition. So the joke's on us. So Krishna's telling us, he's revealing the joke. So if we want to take his advice, then we'll be free from anxiety. We won't be able to resolve the problems. Of course, they're not going to stop coming. They may be reduced. They may be reduced by Krishna's mercy. He can reduce them, but they're not going to stop, right? Because it's already programmed. The physics of the material world is deterioration. There's a little growth, right? Little growth, little sustenance for a short while, then deterioration. That's what we see. Everything, nothing is sustainable here. But we're trying to make it sustainable, because we're sustainable. The soul is sustainable. That's its constitution. So we're not comfortable in this unsustainable position in the material world. So our program is how to make this world sustainable. Huh? This is a joke. But the joke's on us. The material world isn't sustainable. It's constantly changing. But we don't change. The soul doesn't change. But we just accept in temporary situations, one after the other. And we don't have to. Huh? I mean, if you know what's going on, you can. We have that freedom to give up that illusory struggle to make this place a nice place, material world a nice place. That's what everyone wants. Everyone's trying to improve their situation. That's why we're probably coming here and hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, because we think we'll improve our situation by hearing the, by joining the Hare Krishnas, we'll improve our situation, isn't it? So we don't really give up that. It's very difficult to give up that idea that we can improve the situation. The pious people, they go to God for a solution. Krishna says there's four kinds of people, pious people who come to me. But none of them are coming to, because they love Krishna, none of them are coming for Krishna's pleasure, to bring him pleasure, which we're created for like that, we're made for, that's our constitution. But still, they're considered pious, so Krishna knows our disease. So he's given it in a very, in a way that is, we can accept it. But you've got to appreciate his sense of humor. How he appears, and he appears just like, you know, Parikshit Maharaj was astonished. How come Krishna, for what purpose did he appear as a fish, insignificant fish? Huh? It's bewildering, you know, because we're thinking, if I was God, right? We think, like, if I was God, why would he do such a thing? But he's a person, so he acts as he wants. And he appears as a fish, a boar, and a turtle, and other things, as well as human beings. That's just to show his greatness. But when you hear that, at least the atheists, Krishna gives them something to survive on. They want to disbelieve in God, so he gives fantastic stories. There's the fish grew 100 million miles long. Oh, come on, expect me to believe that? Or he assumed the form of a giant turtle, or a big universal form of a boar. It's all fictitious. It's all, you know, because it just doesn't fit in my paradigm. And we hate to hear these stories that don't fit in our three dimensions, or four dimensions. We're boggled. Why can't I understand? How is it possible? I couldn't do that. We can't do that. How is it possible? To know God, you have to accept how great he is. It's the first thing you have to do. You have to accept his greatness and his inconceivable potency. That's the first step. But we're not giving up the idea that we're very special and highly learned and got a handle on everything. Because we're talking about things beyond our intellect, beyond our conception of the present senses that we're conditioned by. But we don't really like to hear that because we've never heard of such a thing before. So therefore we make our world the most important and our race the most important, and we confine to our well, and it's difficult to conceive. But for the devotees, oh, that's so wonderful, but, you know, why would he assume a form of a fish? And then you get these stories, you get this history. We're talking about history here, and Purana, Bhagavad Purana, because if it was just in the Vedanta Sutra, the truth was contained in these very concise statements. First of all, we couldn't understand them. Anyway, that's why they're translated into the Vedas and the Puranas and the other colors, because we can't understand them. But now they make interesting reading. So there's an interesting story coming up. So we're interested now. How did he? Why did he appear as a fish? And what did he do? And so it's a history here. And also the next loka tells you the Satyavrata's next birth, how he appeared. So it is very, very scientific and very esoteric knowledge. How do they know who is going to appear as in the next millennium? It means that in reincarnation, for sure, he's coming back as he's going to be someone else. But how do these sages know about that? So it's very expansive, mind-expanding knowledge that we're hearing about. It really makes us broad-minded. And when we hear the magnitude of the Lord's pastimes, etc., it puts us in our position. It makes us feel very small and meager. Right, this is the dwarf incarnation, Vamandev. Put his toe through the universe, covering of the universe. And then a little drop of water came in, trickle of water came in. Right, this was in Satyuga also, I believe. So that water is transferred into the... It didn't just fall down, it just comes down, and it enters into this planetary system, and it's carried in golden water pots by swans through in the Milky Way, and come down, and Lord Shiva catches it, he goes to on the mountain, comes out at Gomukh. Nice, yeah? How would you do it? This is good, nice. But that was only one drop, and that water's, how long has the Ganges been flowing? It's a big river, you know, and it's still flowing. So often, for how many hundreds and thousands of years has that water? That was one drop from the causal ocean. So this gives you some. So when we say a fish 100 million miles long, or a million miles, whatever, it's outrageous for us. But when you're dealing in these geographical cosmological scales, then you can understand, they're very, very small. That's why Srila Prabhupada wanted this Vedic temple of the Vedic planetarium. And you've probably seen some videos and that, and you see, you know, from the earth, when you see from, when you're looking at it in proportion to the rest, you can't even see it. You can't even see the earth. It's nothing. You know, it's a blob. It's nothing really. But because it's so vast, and people, they don't want to believe him because the stories are so unbelievable from our concept, because you're dealing with more than three dimensions. But there's only one way to know Krishna, and that is to accept. You have to accept him, his inconceivable potencies, and you have to accept him through the authorities, that means his representatives, that means the parampara. There's no other way. Krishna reserves the right of being known. So he's only known by his devotee. Huh? Just like the story of the Brahman and the cobbler. The Brahman was a jnani, and they asked Narada Muni what was Narayan doing. And he said he was putting an elephant through the eye of a needle. Said, come on, man. Why would God be putting elephants here? But the faithful devotee, oh, he's so wonderful, he's fantastic, how can he? He does impossible things, he's fantastic. So Prakshit wasn't questioning, you know, why, how come he appears, he's saying, for what purpose did he appear as a fish? He immediately accepts, okay, he's appeared as a fish, for what purpose did it? The first purpose was, as we know, to save the Vedas. And here was to show mercy to King Satyavrata, a great devotee. So within this chapter, when he tells him to build, the boat will come, and similar to there's a similar story in the Bible, to take the herbs and the entities on the sages on the boat. They have a similar story like that. So that's what happens. He said, very soon this love will come, and don't worry, I'll be with you. I'll be by your side in the boat. You harness the boat to my horn. He had a horn, a golden fish. He had a horn with the Vasuki, aga, serpent. and he'll drive you safely through the storm. But within that, then there's a whole conversation while that's going on. The king is speaking, knowledge about the how illusion the living entities are. Then the Matsya, he speaks transcendental knowledge. He's given so much information. So within the interesting story, that's why the Vedas were translated in the Vedanta Sutra. They were gradually broken down and presented in a story forms, which are more palatable for us, because we get a nice story, and within that we get this transcendental knowledge, enlightenment as to the truth of this world and the proper activity to perform to get us out of this world. So the faithful, they accept it, and the others, they don't. Either the Lord appears in these wonderful forms, it's too far-fetched. It can't be true, it's mythology. But if he appears as a human form, like Ram or Krishna, No, he's just an extraordinary person, maybe some mystic. But that's what Duryodhan thought in the Mahabharata. There was an incident where Krishna shows Duryodhan his partial Visharup, a universal form, because he wants to stop the battle, and he didn't want to. Of course he wanted it, his idea. But give him a chance. But Duryodhan was amazed, but he discounted it. Oh, powerful person, this Krishna. Yeah, he's got some city, powerful. But still, he's not giving up his own ideas. He's not about to surrender to Krishna. So that's the difference. The devotees simply accept. And the demons, they try to resolve the issues themselves. They try to solve the problems of life themselves, where there is no solution. There's no solution to the problems of life. Material life is a problem. The whole Brahmanda is a problem, wherever you go. From Krishna's angle of vision, Abraham, Abel, Banal, of God. 14, the top to bottom, it's not a very good place from Krishna's point of view. So if you want to resolve the problem in the material world, you take yourself out. Problem stays. The Brahmanda stays, comes and goes according to Krishna's desire. But it's always problematic. That's Krishna's designed it. It's temporary. And it's there's no enduring peace here. So you take yourself out. So Krishna comes and gives the message how to get out of this place. That's the solution. Don't try to to resolve the problems of the world. That's illusion. That's Maya. That's what all the plan makers are doing. But what happens? They come and they've gone, and we're still in the same predicament. No one's satisfied. And things don't get any better. That's the program. It gradually deteriorates from Satya Yuga to Kali Yuga. It gradually deteriorates. But in any case, in any age, the Lord comes and he gives you a program how you can get out. So even if you've got a nice environment, we were discussing yesterday, about various problems in the world today, and if we could overcome these problems and make the managers of this world to behave, stop some of the abominable activities, things like that. But still, it wouldn't resolve. It doesn't resolve the issue that it's still a temporary place and it's full of misery. So even if you ban all those things which we say are forbidden, you still have to surrender to Krishna if you want to get out. This is Satya Yuga. Now, before this flood comes, it's fantastic. It's Satya Yuga. It's really nice. You live 100,000 years. Your body doesn't smell, doesn't get old. It's powerful. Your intelligence, 4 times intelligence what we have now, because it decreases 1/4 each year. Ability, right? There's not. People are so devoted to Krishna. There's no need of varnashram. Everyone is on the topmost platform, Noah Paramahansa. Ideal condition. We could never get that again here, right? So those are ideal conditions. What are we doing here in Kali Yuga? It means we didn't take the opportunity in Satya Yuga when the environment was fantastic. We didn't do it. Evidence is we're here. Kali Yuga. Not Satya, not Treta, not Dwapa. We're still in Kali Yuga. But there was an opportunity to get out in any of those yugas. And now there's an opportunity to get out in Kali Yuga. Even though it's really bad in Kali Yuga, still there's an opportunity to get out by Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So you have to take that, and that is, you surrender to Krishna. And then, but you have to do it. You have to practice the program. And then you become happy. Why do you become happy? You forget about trying to manage your life. You forget how to take care of the big problems that are in our lives. When you're preaching, there's a group of people, you tell them to chant Hare Krishna. Some are chanting Hare Krishna and some don't, right? But you see, you look at their faces, you can see the ones that are chanting Hare Krishna are happier than the ones that are not. They're probably thinking, why we should chant this mantra? What does it mean? And the others are chanting Hare Krishna. So they're not thinking about material adjustment or trying to get it together, they're just doing it. And you see, when the devotees are dancing, just by looking at their faces, you can see who's the most happiest. Right? The ones that are really dancing, the ones that are sitting there don't have that same... The smile is not so big on the devotees that are not dancing, right? This is your practical experience that you can see from the devotees' faces, that they're actually happy. Why? Because they're absorbed in dancing for Krishna. Or even for their own pleasure. They're not worried about the future, because everyone's concerned about the future. Will I achieve this? Will I get that? Yeah? Everyone's concerned about that. the thing is, you chant Hare Krishna and forget about that. They can, you know, why we should take an anxiety for the problems that haven't even arrived yet. You know, most of our anxiety is for what hasn't happened, what we expect to happen. Right? You worry about the future. What's going to happen? How am I going to overcome this? Will it come? Will it work out? Will it go as I want? And then you get an anxiety, and then you get absorbed in it. And if things don't go how I want, then I get really upset. Then I make a protest and... Things don't go the way I want it to go. Everyone should hear me, or, you know, we've experienced. And it's our own life, you know, because it's not going the way I want it to go. So therefore we charge it, therefore you try, but it's never, if it goes the way you want to go, you're lucky. I mean, some of the time. I mean, there's people with good karma, then it goes, if they're really good karma, then it goes their way, you know, almost as much as it goes, it doesn't go their way. That's good life. Yeah. That means you're doing all right in the material world. See that how it's all going on? Keep getting it going. And that's our program. You become absorbed in Krishna. It's not idealistic. You just sit down and chant Hare Krishna and everything's in the... No, we have our program. We have our scheduled program. You have to work. You have to do something. But in Krishna consciousness, you get old, sick and die without anxiety. That's the difference. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't... he didn't make a fuss that when he started the Sankirtan movement, there was a hostile government. Muslim government against the Vedic principles. Until they actually interfered with him, Mahaprabhu was indifferent, doesn't it? Yeah? But only when they started to stop the practice of the Sankirtan movement, and then he came like fire. Otherwise, he wasn't interested. So it doesn't matter the external situation. Just like the Prime Minister in India now, he's banned animal slaughter, cow slaughter in four states. But I doubt if he's going to get people to tell everyone should chant Hare Krishna and send it to Krishna. I doubt it. I hope he will, but you know. So you're trying to modify, but it's not really important. Mahaprabhu didn't really worry about that. As long as they was left us alone, we could chant Hare Krishna and go back to Godhead. So you can do that. So that was his program. Why are we wasting time sleeping? Let's all gather together and have kirtan all night. So they're absorbed in kirtan, completely oblivious to the outside world. That's our goal, right? To become absorbed in the holy name of Krishna. That's samadhi. And when you do that, how do you feel? Your practical experience. When you're actually absorbed in the holy name, how do you feel? There's no anxiety. So it's nice. It's riding on the holy name. Your mind, the holy name is in your mind. Your mind is in the holy name. So nice. So this is what the Lord appears to give us. He's appearing to give us shelter in the transcendental energy. He enters into the material energy, his spiritual energy, but he's not affected by the material energy because it's acting how he wants it to act. And then he gives us opportunity to come into that spiritual energy in the form of his holy name, in the form of his Archa Avatar, in the form of his devotees, in the form of his prasadam, and in the form of his devotional service. So that's it, then there's a choice. So if you get absorbed in that, then automatically you're not absorbed in the material world. So that is the purpose of that. That's actually detachment from the material world. Attachment to Krishna automatically implies detachment from the material world. And it's a special bonus also that as you're engaged in devotional service, the ordinary reactions that you are due don't happen. At least the bad things. Krishna sometimes he lets the good karma manifest, but not the bad karma. Well, you're dancing in front of the deity and clapping your hands, having a good time. What happens when you clap your hands in front of the deity? The lines change on your hands. Your karma changes. So you're using up so much karma, your bad karma you should experience, you're using up without making a separate program for it, without endeavoring to be pure or to be prayasjitya. You're having a good time dancing and chanting in front of the deity, and by that, you're moving your body in different gestures in front of the deity, then you'll get, it's a side effect. It's just a side effect, the purification and the elimination of karma. So that's how great Krishna is. So that's all he wants, is to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. It's like Srila Prabhupada said, while we're in the Bhagavatam class, we're free from the modes of nature. I can't remember what exactly he said, but something like that. He said you're actually on the liberated platform. You're here in the Bhagavatam class. It's nothing to do with the material defending or enjoying. As long as you're absorbed. He said at least for that period of time. As long as you're absorbed. So our program is to be 24 hours. How to be 24 hours engaged in Krishna service. So then we need a guru to do that. I mean, those that are living in a secular world, for the brahmacharis and the inmates of the ashram, then it's easy. Everything is laid out for you. A simple life. You don't have to worry about where you're going to get your money from. You know where your clothes are coming from. where you're going to eat next. It's a very simple life there that Prabhupada has made. Following in the footsteps of the spiritual master, so the ashram life is very simple. And of course it's austere. You get up before the sun, and you take your bath and put on clean clothes, then there's all, you know, your light, your morning begins right from the mode of goodness. Then immediately you come down and see the deity and chant and dance. Then you get your shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, and most important things. So it's a very nice package. And then you do whatever you have, what needs to be done. Then that has to go on during the day. But when you're actually remembering Krishna, then it takes the anxiety out of life. Otherwise, it must be anxiety. Because the fearful, the future is always fearful. We're always concerned about the future. How will I make ends meet? Right? What kind of education will my children get? What kind of ashram should I be in? How will I, I need a new house. And you're thinking like this. But when you're actually serving Krishna, depending on Krishna, you're going through the same lifestyle, but you don't have that anxiety. Because, you know, you act. Krishna says you have a right to act, but you don't have any... you don't have a right to the fruit. That's dependent on me. The result is dependent on me. So we accept that. we're the eternal servants of Krishna. And out of His kindness, He's given us... He comes and gives us a program how to go back to Him. So we simply have to accept it, not just in theory, but you have to accept it in practice, and give yourself. That's called surrender. And when you do that, then you're obviously completely satisfied. Because with two things we're looking for in the material world, one is peace, right, a comfortable situation, and the other is happiness. So if you establish a relationship with Krishna, what do you get? Krishna is the reservoir of pleasure. So there's no better pleasure. You won't get a higher pleasure than that. And there's complete security. If you surrender to Krishna, there's complete security there. So you don't have to worry about defending. You don't have to worry about controlling and defending. Because you're already satisfied. We're controlling and defending because of our dissatisfaction. That's the cause of it. And the material world is a place of dissatisfaction, if you're identifying with it. So that's how wonderful Krishna's arranged this Maya. But the joke is, the actual jiva, he doesn't suffer at all. That's the real funny thing. He's just passing through imagining, you know, he's enjoying and suffering in these particular bodies, and he's experiencing. But it, actually, in effect, he's not actually suffering. The soul is always liberated. There is no such thing as liberation. There's no such thing as bondage in one sense, because the soul is a soul. The soul and matter, they don't mix. The soul is always liberated, but sometimes he projects his consciousness onto the material energy and starts to get absorbed and identifying with that and trying to make ends meet in the material energy in a difficult situation. That's a joke. Huh? But we're in there, we're stuck in there. But you see Krishna's sense of humor, actually he's not suffering. The soul doesn't suffer. He's Satchidananda. It cannot be dried, cannot be killed, cannot be burned. Krishna says that, Bhagavad Gita. But we're thinking we're part of it, or we were identifying with the body, and when the body's gone, when it's cold, when I can't meet my demands and suffering. So this is just due to misidentification. The soul himself, he actually doesn't suffer. The consciousness is suffering. So, you know, it's the same. Practically, we are suffering. Right? But in truth, we're not actually suffering. It's like when you see a good movie or a good act, and it's a good director, a good plot, and good music score, you get completely absorbed. Right? If it's a good show, you get completely absorbed. Sometimes you're crying, sometimes you're laughing. Right? It's somebody's imagination. They wrote this score, they wrote this script, and they put these good actors together and they got it. But, you know, if it's good, then we get drawn in. And then we start to go through all these emotions. Then it's a good play, right, when we experience those different emotions. But it wasn't real. Nothing was real. The story wasn't real. The actors weren't, you know, real. They were actors. They weren't real persons. But for that little while, we enjoyed that experience of, you know, being in a different, or someone else's world, or whatever. So it's the same thing. It's just a matter of waking up. But we won't appreciate that until we come at the platform of self-realization. You got to get to Nishtha before you can start to actually appreciate what's going on. But in the meantime, we do experience that when we're absorbed in Krishna's service, it's nice. It's a relief. Because we're not worrying about all the other stuff. It may be hard work. The service also may be hard work. We're not denying that. And we have to work hard. But still, we're not in anxiety. Generally. If you have too much service, you may get in anxiety. So that's a proposition. You're going to get old, sick, and die. You're not going to stop that by becoming a devotee of Krishna. But you'll go through life without anxiety. And then at the end, you go back to Godhead. But if you're concerned with controlling the situation, you'll never be satisfied. And because that desire is never fulfilled, you get a chance to come back and fulfill it in another birth. Krishna will do that. This is what you want. You really want to be successful in this program. You can't be successful. What we're looking for is what? Eternal happiness. That's what everyone wants, right? Isn't it? Eternal happiness. But it's not to be found here. So then, if you're gung-ho to get that, you're determined to do it, then you get another chance. Krishna, go for it. Take it. So, plenty of, and a wide variety of avenues to explore. It's a sense of humor, huh? Krishna's great, eh? Let's face it. How would you have done it? Huh? So if we could appreciate, he's fantastic. He's got us running around like idiots here. trying to play God. Let me control this energy and then we can enjoy it. Individually or collectively, that's what's going on. A joke. So when we realize that joke and give that up, that endeavor, then your material life is finished. All you got to do is go those two things: to try to control the environment and try to extract happiness from it. But first, we got to realize that it's actually an illusion. There's no control and there's no happiness for the living entity in the material energy. It's the material energy is just dead matter, and it's going on exactly it changes, the modes of nature change, and it goes on from Satya Yuga to Dwapara Kali, Satya Yuga to, it's going on eternally like that, when at least whenever Vishnu breathes out. That's it, one breath it goes back again. So that doesn't change. Material energy is material energy. But it's our identification with it, how we identify it, by how we view the world, what set of senses we view the world from. Then we have our own opinions. And then we try. And the amazing thing, everyone's satisfied. Whatever form of life you're in, you think you're doing okay. That's another joke. There's always somebody worse off than us. So that's a conditioned life. Krishna's fantastic program, right? But at least he's come and tell us this is the actual reality. This is what's going on in the material world. This is who you are. This is what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to come and exchanging loving programs with me in the spiritual world. You're not supposed to be here. But if you want, you can join. So he's a very fair person. Huh? Good man, Krishna. He's not cruel. Although it's his creation, he says, although I am doing everything and it's moving under my, I'm not responsible for the living entity's happiness and distress. They're responsible for their own happiness and distress by interfacing with the material energy, by addressing and coming tackling the material energy. That's their problem. If we didn't do that, we wouldn't get any reaction. But because we think we can do it, then go ahead. So he says, I'm not responsible for your happiness and distress. The living entities, they're responsible for their own happiness and distress, although it's going under his direction. So in all of these different yugas and all of the different incomes, just like in here, he's going to explain the absolute truth at the end of the, you know, as a fish. You'll hear, we get instructions from King Satyavrata. He's pointing out his illusion. Then Krishna's Matsya is giving transcendental instructions for our benefit. So along with the story, we're going to get all this transcendental knowledge because this knowledge is more for self-realization. Sankhya philosophy, what he will explain. But anyway, one has to have an understanding of what's going on. And if you don't know you're sick, then you won't take medicine. So it's got to be, it has to be pointed out to us our actual condition, what our condition is. Then we know it is, then we can take the proper action to become free from it. And that's what the different avatars are doing in every yuga. And according to the status of the living entities, then they give different processes which are suitable for that particular climate. Right now, nothing's going to work. In Kali Yuga, we're so bad. So then Mahaprabhu is not considering qualification or not. He's just giving you chant, give up your nonsense, chant Hare Krishna, serve Krishna, and I will accept that service. He's not waiting for purification like in some of the other avatars, because in Kali Yuga it's not possible. So that's the Mahavada, that's one of the aspects of Mahavada Naya. But in any case, we have that in any time, in any circumstances, if we're fortunate to have the association of a devotee, then we have that facility and we have the faculty to surrender to Krishna. What's stopping us from surrendering to Krishna right now? What's stopping us from giving up that pursuit to control and enjoy the material energy? What's stopping us? It's only our own mind, nothing else. We just adamantly, stubbornly clinging to the fact that I can do it. I've done it. I've done it before. I've experienced that a little bit. I have some control. And there was some sense of enjoyment. It's real. I've experienced it. It's reality. I'm realized, self-realized, sense of gratification. It works. But, you get a little break in the distress and a little flickering happiness. But what you put in and what you get back is really not worth it. And it's not enduring. It's not enduring. Otherwise, why are we here? We're dissatisfied with the material situation in life. That's what we're doing here. Anyway, but anyway, we got everything, given to us on a silver plate. We just have to accept it and follow it. All the thinking's been done. All the philosophy has been discussed. All the Vedas have been scrutinily studied. Nana, Shasha, Vichara, and Sadharam. All the essential points, all the spiritual parts, Sadharma, the eternal principles, taken out, compiled into our scriptures, the Goswamis, etc. Everything's been done for you. There's no need to, all the work has been done. We simply have to accept it and follow. So that we should consider our good fortune. But that good fortune is available to everyone. Prabhupada said we are presenting Krishna consciousness to everyone. He said, and the fortunate people, they will accept. That's all. If you're fortunate, you accept. If you're unfortunate, you don't. But even though we come so far and we're so fortunate, still we haven't given up that habit of trying to, as they say, exploit the material energy. We're still looking things with a view to enjoy or to be more comfortable within the material energy. Takes time to get to the platform of Shuddha-sattva or Nishtha. But it's a joyful process that Lord Chaitanya has given. We're associating with like-minded people, wonderful devotees. And we have the, this wonderful facility, darshan of Radhagopal, Nanda, Sitaram, Nitaigor, Prasadam. Super. That is the mercy of the devotee. They made it very easy for us. But we have to play our part. They've done their part. They've put all the hard work and sacrifice and penance to make it easy for us. So we should play our part and accept Krishna consciousness and surrender to Krishna. Surrender to the process. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Matsyavatar ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.